Okay. Last week, I talked about fruit and all the different kinds of fruit and everything. And I want to talk a little bit more about fruit, but in a different way today. Fruit is very important. God wants us to bear fruit. He created us to bear fruit. And he wants us to bear more and more fruit. Would you, the scripture? There we are. John 15. I'm sure you're familiar with this, but I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. So we can see the Father looks and he sees some branches bear fruit and some don't. We are like a fruit tree. Some of our branches bear fruit and some don't. That's not being critical. But there are things about us, some maybe habits, distractions, issues in our lives or whatever, that are not fruitful in terms of producing the good things that God wants us to produce. But he sees the branches that do bear fruit. He says, oh, those are good. But I want them to bear more fruit, so he prunes them. The pruning process is not pleasant always. Sometimes it might be. I know that, Mary and I still have, although we had a transplant, a blackberry bush. And I found out after a couple of years that there's a certain way that you have to prune it so that it keeps bearing a lot of fruit. Because 1 year, we just let it go the first couple of years, and then this 1 year we had more than we knew what to do with. There were so many blackberries on the thing. But then it started producing less and less. I had to look into it and find out that there are some of its branches which are closer to the trunk of the bush, and they produce the fruit. And then there are other ones that don't produce anything. And they're just like long runners that go out. You know, it looks really awkward. But yet there are these long branches that are reaching out, almost like they want to find another place to plant themselves or something. And they don't bear any fruit. And then at a certain time of year, you cut them back. Another time of year, you trim the fruit-bearing ones. Because you don't want the energy or the nutrients that are in the plant and the roots and everything going to produce those long runners that don't do anything. You want all the energy and the nutrients to go into the branches that produce the fruit. And in the same way, the Lord looks at us and says, okay, you produce fruit. But there are some things, some places perhaps, where you're devoting some of your energy and resources and whatever that are not helpful to producing the fruit. May actually hinder it. Like I said, sometimes might be habits, distractions, hobbies, whatever. Not that there's anything wrong in having a hobby or a habit or something, as long as that's not our focus. Our focus must be on the Lord and putting him first. As long as he's first, these other things, you know, can take their natural place, and it's okay. But he wants to make sure that we're not devoting too much time to those other things so we can be of greater service to him, be his instruments, and produce the fruit. But it's not only the pruning. that helps produce the fruit. There's other factors as well, and those are some of the things that I want to focus on this morning. What's the first thing you want to consider? Let's say we go to a nursery and we buy a fruit tree or a berry bush of some sort. Any, it doesn't matter. Something that produces fruit. What's the first thing you consider? Where am I going to put it? Right? And what's the main consideration that in there? Well, it's got to have good soil, doesn't it? You think of the parable of the sower, where seeds were strewn on rocky ground. Seeds were sown where there were weeds. Some seeds were sown on good ground, and the good ground is what produced the crop. In the same way, you want to put your plant in some good soil. You don't want to put it where there's a bunch of rocks or clay. You want good soil. And the good soil, with respect to us, is our heart. The soil of our heart. Is it suitable? Is it receptive to having the good word of God planted? Are we receptive to the word of God? Nobody fully understands the word. At least when you first become a Christian, there's so much that you need to learn. And that learning process continues throughout your entire life. It never ends. There's always more to learn. There's always more to understand. So when we read the word, or we hear it preached, or we hear it on the radio, or we hear it from friends, whatever, are we receptive? Is the soil of our heart receptive to hearing the word? Because that word is going to cause change. Either change in habit, change in attitude, change in behavior of some sort. It's going to require change. That's part of what the Christian life is all about. Change. We're never supposed to stay the same. We're all being conformed to the image of Jesus. So we need to ask ourselves, what's the condition in the soil of my heart? Do I want to hear the word? Do I want it planted in my heart? Do I want to be changed to be more like Jesus? What do I really want? Or is the soil of my heart rocky or full of weeds, not receptive enough to having the good seed of the word planted in it? So that's a consideration that we have to think about. But there's more than just a need for good soil when you're planting something that bears fruit. There's other considerations too. It needs to be watered, doesn't it? Nothing can grow without water. We can't either. And what is the water? Water is the actual word of God. Scripture speaks of that itself. It says that, you know, by washing of the water of the word, we grow. So, not only do we have to have the soil of our heart ready to receive the word, but we need to actually put ourselves in a place where we do receive it. If Sunday morning, and I'm not necessarily talking about anybody here, but in the greater church, okay, if all worshipers do is come to church on Sunday, and that's the only time that they hear the word of God, what good is that? Experiencing God is a daily thing, not just a once a week thing. We need to be seeking out that word, whether it's on the radio, whether it's in church, TV, reading our own Bibles, devotionals. That's how we get watered. Water is necessary to bear fruit. The plant can't grow. The fruit isn't going to be nice and juicy. You need that water. We, as Christians, need the water of the Word to grow and bear that fruit. But there's even more that we need. What's another thing that we need? We need the sun, don't we? The sun must shine. You plant your bush or tree or whatever in a sunny place. Sun is necessary. The warmth, the energy that the sun imparts to the plant. Do you ever notice how plants turn towards the sun? You might plant them in one direction, maybe facing one way, but when they find out which way the sun is coming from, they always turn towards the sun. So you need to, plants need to be in the sun to thrive, to grow. The sun provides a lot of the energy needed to produce the fruit. Well, we have a sun too, don't we? Only it's an S-O-N. And we need to be in his presence. If we're not spending time in his presence, we're not going to receive the energy, the wherewithal, whatever that we need from him to bear that fruit. Do we need to spend time in prayer? It's a necessary thing. If you want to bear fruit, that's what you need to do. And since the Lord wants us to bear more and more fruit, just like he prunes, that we produce more, it's helpful the more time we spend with him. And I don't mean asking for things necessarily. I mean just spending time in his presence. That peaceful time where you just know that you're with him and you can just feel his presence with you. And you know that you're receiving something, even though you don't necessarily understand what or how it's working. But just being in his presence over time, day after day after day, he is imparting something to you that is necessary for you and for your growth. Part of that's a mystery, but I know it's true because I can sense it every time I spend time with him. But is that all there is? No. One more thing. And I'm reminded of a parable that Jesus told. Jesus told this parable about a landowner, and he had a tree. Didn't bear any fruit. And the landowner said to his servant, this worthless tree, chop it down, get rid of it. The servant says, please, don't do that yet. Give me a little bit of time. Let me dig around it. Let me fertilize it. Put some good nutrient there and see if that helps to bear fruit. And if that doesn't work, yeah, we'll cut it down. So that's another thing that plants need. They need to be fertilized in some way or other. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever had the pleasure of a warm summer drive down a country road, and all of a sudden you say, gee, what is that smell? And you realize you're passing a farm, and there's cows there, and there's a field, and crops growing and everything, and you realize what that is, right? You all experienced that, haven't you? I know I have. I know I used to use that stuff in a former place where I lived many years ago. But in any event, it's not pleasant, is it? But every plant needs to be fertilized in some way. Now, with us being compared to trees that need good soil, that need water, that need sunshine. We also need fertilizer. How many of you like to be fertilized? Have these little problems come into your life? These little things that cause you stress or concern or frustration, or, you know, it's a problem. And you think, gee, Lord, what did I do to deserve this? Or, you know, why do I have to deal with this? And we think it doesn't really serve any purpose other than to irritate us and frustrate us and get us angry and upset and everything. But that's not the case. These are necessary things. A lot of times, anyway. Because without them, we wouldn't grow. Without them, we wouldn't understand how to overcome, to how to resist temptation, or how to just overcome the attacks of the devil, or how to be stronger. I'm sure that a soldier, when he goes to boot camp, does not appreciate the training that he has to go through all the time. It's hard, especially for some of the elite soldiers who have to endure so much more to be toughened up, to be strengthened, strong in character, strong in physical might and ability, strong mentally. All of the things that they go through are designed to grow them in one way or another, so that they can become the elite that the training is for. That's the same way with us. It's wonderful to be planted in good soil, to be well watered, to have that sunshine, you know, Lord, you know, the blessings and shining down. It may not be pleasant to have that fertilizer dumped on you from time to time, but it's necessary. It's one of the things that is vital to our growth, even though we may not enjoy the effects of it. So next time something like that happens to you and you feel that you are being dumped on, just remember that maybe there's a purpose for it. There's a reason. And maybe we shouldn't have such a negative attitude to some of the things that happen. But just to realize that maybe God is allowing these things in our lives because He wants to strengthen us in some way. He wants us to learn how to overcome. Maybe it's to be patient. Maybe it's how to stand on the Word. Maybe it's how to trust Him. It doesn't come naturally. All of these things have to be learned. The only way we can learn them is through experience. I can tell you something, but unless you experience it yourself, it doesn't have as much meaning to you. It doesn't really have the effect on you than if you just hear something. Soldiers have to experience the training rather than just sit in a classroom and say, okay, in a certain situation, this is what you do. In a different situation, this is what you do. Now, that doesn't help them any. They have to actually go through these various scenarios to be fully trained, and so do we. I don't consider it necessarily a pleasant experience when I go through these things. But over time, I'm learning that in God's graciousness and His love, sometimes it's going to be tough love. Sometimes it's going to be messy love. But it's love nevertheless. Because His purpose is always to bring us to a higher place, to elevate us, to train us how to rule and reign with Him when He returns. Because that's one of the promises we have. And none of us knows how to do that when we first come to him. We have to learn. We have to be trained. We have to have our character developed. That's not easy. It's not always pleasant. Sometimes painful. Sometimes smelly and messy. But necessary. So all those things are necessary to bear much fruit. We should not be content with a little bit of fruit. We should always desire to be able to produce more. That doesn't mean you work harder, you work more, or whatever. Maybe in some cases it does, but in a lot of cases it doesn't. It's the quality as well as the quantity. And sometimes, because your character has changed, your attitude has changed, or whatever, the things that you do and say have a greater effect. Because people can look at you and say, wow, you're so different. I knew you back when, but now you're so different. And the words that you share can have an even greater impact. Or maybe you meet a stranger, like sometimes Joan does. You know, and you strike up a conversation and you share the Lord with them. And you relate the experiences that you've had. And this is what the Lord has done for me. And this is how he has changed me. And this is how he has grown me. Your words have a greater impact because of the things you experienced than if you were, let's say, a new Christian. You say, oh, God is good and this and that. And then, you know, people don't have a good frame of reference, you know, to truly believe what you're saying. But when you can actually take them through your experiences, it means so much more and has a greater impact. So there's one way that you can be producing more fruit without actually doing more. Just doing the same thing, but it just has a greater impact. So, bottom line is these are the things that we need in order to produce the fruit and produce more and more, and we should all desire that. So we need to make sure that our heart is good soil, receptive to the Word. We need to seek that Word, be watered by it. We need to seek the Son and spend time in His presence so that He can strengthen us and energize us and give us what we need. And then, yes, we need to receive sometimes those messy fertilizations that will also help strengthen our character and provide growth. So consider those things in the days ahead, especially as we enter the Lenten season and preparing our hearts for Easter. Knowing what Jesus sacrificed, what he went through for us, is it so much to ask that we endure some of these unpleasant experiences for him after all that he endured for us? No. So, let's keep all of that in mind, and we'll just end with a prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you love us enough to do the things that are necessary to make us more like Jesus and to grow us, to enable us, Lord, to produce the fruit that is pleasing to you. Thank you for all you do for us, the pleasant as well as the unpleasant. As long as it's from you, Lord, it's good and it has a purpose, and the purpose is to grow us, to make us more like yourself. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Help us to have the right attitude when we experience these things. And help us to have the desire for all the things that are necessary to produce the fruit that you want us to Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.